Wait, let's back up. How do we start this? Should we just start?
We should start.
Okay.
This is podcast.
This is the Island CT podcast.
And it is podcast
number
15.
Something like that.
Something like that.
I can't remember.
And we are.
So first, let's explain.
Okay.
This is the Island CT podcast, and we are on an island, so we don't have any of our notes or anything, and we're just going to wing it a lot more than sometimes we wing it because we run out of time for preparation. But this is
this one is truly
yeah. So we are on Bear Island, and we've been here. So it's today is. Yeah, we don't have the podcast number, but we know it's July 16th, Thursday, 2015.
We paddled in on Saturday.
Yep.
And we've been having pretty good weather. We've had Monday that had full thunderstorms from start to finish.
Yeah, that's true. That was a difficult day. But it was...
It's not bad.
No, it was okay.
You know, they were pretty heavy. Yeah. But every day we have a storm that moves off, and then we have great weather.
Yeah.
So it's part of the whole routine of the place.
So we're under our beach tarp, and it's, what, an hour? Oh, no, my gosh. It's like 4 hours after low tide? No, not quite. 3.5 hours after low tide.
Right.
And we're out on the beach, and the tide's coming in.
We have set up a tent or
a tarp
right beside a turtle nest, and the turtle nest the eggs were laid probably in May, so they should be coming out sometime in the next few weeks.
Yeah, the tide almost reached the nest yesterday. So I don't know, before we talk about stuff from Bear Island, do you remember anything? I mean, we were going to make a list of stuff to talk about,
right.
And we just had such a rush time because of, well, your cataract surgery was one thing.
So,
and
first time
we never
at
got
the beach
to it.
With no glasses.
Yeah, that's cool.
First time anywhere with no glasses.
Yeah.
It is great. I have super vision.
Yeah.
I'm actually seeing
and
the crabs.
Your blog?
On the beach.
Yeah. Your blog entry was about the cataract.
It was. I did my next blog was on the cataract surgery number 2, and it was just a very quick overview, so if people are doing the double cataract surgery, they'd know what to expect. So if you want more information about it, check out our blog.
Yep. I don't. So we're going to skip our blog entries because I don't remember what mine was. We've done so much.
Yeah, we've done the makerspace.
Oh, the Read2Me program.
Read2Me program. Yep. We're trying to set up a makerspace outside. We mentioned it in the earlier podcast. Still working on a better system. Very difficult in very bright lighting to get the computer so that we can see the screen and help the kids out.
So the Read2Me program is a program for which we were asked to help by setting up the maker. You were asked specifically.
Yeah.
I came along to help. And they go to neighborhoods and just set up camp in front yard and of family housing, it looks like, and just read to kids. They go knocking on doors.
They go knocking on doors. They get the kids to come. They hope to get the parents to come. And they do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And all the books they read, they give to kids to take home, which I think is awesome.
And then you did the makey-makey.
Yeah,
you know, and I helped, but that was your project.
So I brought the makey-makey along. I thought it would be a quick device that the students could use, they could play with, and learn a little more about electronics, but just hopefully just opening their eyes to an interest that they had not thought about earlier.
Yeah. And then I had just fantastic, I mean, unbelievable success with getting our Osh Park boards.
Yes.
Did we ever talk about that in a podcast? They work!
They work.
Yippee! This is really a huge step. So,
yeah.
And it's a combination. So that's some of the blog entries I wrote lately. Yeah, yeah. And so the Osh Park boards work. I found errors in you know, bad connections and stuff. I think heat destroyed the chips.
Right.
So I had to replace the chips on them. And then on top of that, our second ARDF transmitter works for 80 meters. And we went out and did an actual, our first trial, practice,
that's
whatever,
right,
out there with two transmitters switching back and forth, each with an 18 mega.
Right.
It's not the Osh Park board one yet. It's the one I manually constructed. And so that was a huge thing, getting that one
going.
Right. So I just want to, it's reminding me of these fantastic things that were happening right before leaving, but we really should move on to Bear Island.
Yeah.
Because
we will run out of time quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's see. We arrived here on Saturday. It's part of the Hammocks Beach State Park in North Carolina.
There's 14 campsites that are at the state park. 11 of them are on Bear Island itself. I guess they're all on Bear Island. 11 of them are kind of beachfront campsites. And there's two or three that are back along the inlet coming into Bear Island from the marsh side. And it's...
Three I have here.
Yeah. Three. And all of them are very rustic. There's a picnic table, and that's pretty much it, and a lot of sand. So when you come, you're really open to whatever the weather offers.
Yeah, and on the beachfront campsites, I mean, we're not right on the beach. We're one dune behind.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Some
one
of them can...
One dune from the beach.
One dune from the beach.
But we can hear the waves at night.
Yeah, and some of the campsites further towards the... I guess it'd be the northeastern tip, do have views of the ocean. Right.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are totally open to the ocean and the kind of a inlet area on the back of the island.
Yeah. And there's no shade, so you have to bring your own.
Yes, you need a sunshade of some sort. Tarp works better.
Tarp works.
You can get it propped up with, like, at least four poles.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, the important thing is to let the wind flow underneath you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have the wind flowing, then it's bearable and it's very enjoyable.
So we had one day where the winds were so high and everything was staked down triple with sandbags to hold everything down.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was crazy. So, talking about the tip, the erosion there is extreme.
Yeah. So they've had quite a bit of erosion, and it really changed the tip of the island. So as you come off to their bird sanctuary, that area right before the bird sanctuary starts totally changed. In fact, we thought they might have gotten rid of the bird sanctuary.
Yeah, it looked so different.
We're like, what is that? And it's just, I assume it's some of the seasonal changes that occur with the storms and the way that...
It looks like it's mostly the eastern and southeastern side before you get to the tip, right at the tip.
Right, right.
That's really eroding. I mean, you can see dunes. I mean, as we were there, you could see the dunes just falling with waves and the roots of all of the plants that had been holding them together just dangling and out into the ocean. So... that was surprising.
Yep.
Anyway, so let's see. Oh boy, the wind is picked up. I'm trying to find... Okay, so let's see. So we paddled in. Canoe.
Yeah, we canoed in.
It was pretty heavily packed, but we made it.
The clampets are what we look like when we paddle in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I guess the worst is probably crossing the Intracoastal Waterway.
It is.
But after that,
it's rough, and we came in on a Saturday. We arrived late instead of early because we missed the
What time. A screw up. Oh my gosh.
So, you have two choices coming to Bear Island. You can coast in, and it takes about an hour and a half paddle, and you're just paddling along, feeling like a hero because your boat's moving along with no problem, even if the wind's not with you. Or you can come in and you could fight and pull and go against the wind and go against the current and take 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I think more. It was more like 3 hours almost.
Sometimes it takes 3. So very, very different way of attacking.
So let's see, this is a science, nature, technology, what have we seen? As usual, ghost crabs.
Yeah.
We came in at high tide, so we didn't see the fiddler crabs.
I know. They're very cute. We'll probably see them on the way out.
Yeah.
And there's not just one fiddler crab. We're talking like huge colonies of like hundreds and hundreds of fiddler crabs.
Let's stay with the crustaceans for a bit.
Okay.
We found a blue crab the other day, a female. Bright orange egg case.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah, and we found out, I guess, if you look at the, I don't know
abdomen?
What it's called, but underneath the abdomen, the rear end, if it's rounded and it looks frilly on the sides, so they say like a Christmas tree, it's female, and
right.
if it's pointy, it's male, but we're talking about the whole structure.
Right.
Because the female
not
one,
just that little pointed
not the,
area.
Yeah, not the very tip of it, which could be pointed even for the female. Humongous egg mass,
right?
Orange. So that was the blue crab.
Yeah. And then we've seen some.
Lots of birds as usual.
Yeah. We've seen Wilson's.
Wilson's plover. We saw two plovers. We don't know what the other one is.
Yeah. And we've seen
some dogs. Other. Yeah, herring gull. There's the one with black head, and we still can't figure out which type it is.
I can't remember what it is.
I can't. We don't have a book.
But he's kind of our watchdog.
Yeah, the one that's.
He comes and he'll squawk and he'll stay in front of where we kind of hang out through the day and set up our tarp, and he will squawk when other birds come in or squawk if the truck comes by.
Yeah.
It's like having a watch bird.
Oh, to go back to the invertebrates, the crustaceans anyway, the mole crabs we haven't seen this year.
No, we haven't.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Maybe we will when we hike down to the other point. And we did see some of those little clams that dig in real fast as the water washes over.
Yeah.
Or some kind of bivalve. I don't know if it's a clam. But they, not as many as other years.
No, I wonder if they've done some beach nourishment where they dump on sand.
Maybe.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it'd be unlikely here.
But they do it all around here at other islands.
I'm sure.
So I think it has that effect.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right,
so
it gets moved over.
Emerald Isle, they do beach renourishment, they call it.
Yeah.
Basically, they dump sand on the island.
Gotcha.
On the beach to keep the beach a beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just kind of drifts down the coast, and we're probably down from them.
So you see that guy right there? We've seen a lot of those shorebirds. They're a lot bigger than the plovers. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah. And I had that one thing to help us tonight.
We'll have to ask at the station. Anyway,
the
at the tip where there's the bird sanctuary, there was nasty. We saw some birds doing the mating ritual, all just totally displaying to each other, being a total pain. So I know those are definitely oyster catchers.
Yeah,
they have the big red bill.
So, and not only, like, they were strutting and marching through the whole colony and just making a ruckus, and the other birds were just, like, trying to get out of their way are just like looking at them annoyed, like, can't you just feel?
And we saw skimmers.
Yeah.
Actually feeding, that was cool.
We got some skimmers the first day, and the brown pelicans.
Brown pelicans, very cool.
Have been coming routinely.
So we've seen a lot of those.
We see them in the morning and the evening, and we've seen groups of 13.
Yeah, that's so high, but we have seen.
We have seen larger, but they have nice, strong groups.
Yeah.
So we went for a walk to the north end of the island, I guess you'd call it north.
Yeah, it's like northeastern end.
Northeastern end.
Yeah.
And we were walking out on a sandbar that the island seems to be extending out onto over time. And as we're walking out there, a fisherman was fighting a catch. And so you could tell that he has this big fish on the line, and he's struggling with it. He's trying to keep it. And he yells at his buddy to drive into the to that little area, that little sandbar. And his buddy drops him off on the sandbar, anchors the boat, and this guy struggles and fights, and it looks like it's out of a movie. And he pulls up on shore a 3 to 4 foot shark.
That thing was humongous around.
Oh,
It's volume. Like, it's like volume. A thick shark.
Yeah, like it would have been at least 2 feet around, half a meter around.
Got him.
Oh, yeah.
Is he down there?
Well, he flew up.
Oh, did he? I didn't get him.
He went to the ground.
Okay, good. Horsefly of some kind. Anton. I don't know what they are, but in French it'd be Anton. Anyway. Insects have been... So, back to the invertebrates.
Yeah.
Insects have been just non-existent except our first day.
Our first day...
Black flies were really bad.
Oh, they were so bad. We had to wear pants, socks, and long shirts. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a rough week at Bear Island.
I kept killing him with a bungee cord, remember? I just, like
I
a sling...
I just took off my hat and started... Laughing. And I'm thinking, man, a whole week of this.
And then the wind was really strong. We haven't had any insects until just last night. The wind started to die, and this morning the sand flies were really bad.
We also had a really good rain on Monday.
Yeah.
And that weeded out the flies almost
Could be.
Completely. I don't know why.
Yeah. What else have we seen?
Okay, so...
The shark. Was there anything more about the shark?
No. Oh, the shark was either a
they said either
black tip or a...
Bull shark.
Bull shark, yep.
They said one of the two. They weren't sure.
They weren't sure.
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't either.
So.
But it was amazing to see it, because I had no idea how big around they were.
Yeah.
Because we'd go to the aquarium, oh, there's a shark, yep.
Well, it's a different shape.
Yeah.
The ones we saw at the aquarium were sleeker than that one.
Yeah. This one was round. Kind of like the bulldog of sharks.
Apart from that, we saw a few egrets on the way in, but we're so under stress from having to...
To paddle. We couldn't even focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very beautiful, though. We saw a lot of birds on the way in.
Yeah.
That's what we were both saying. Wow, look at all the wildlife. Too bad we have to paddle so far. And we kept on running into paddlers going, man, we just ran into this current and wind, and we decided not to go any further.
Turns. Little sparrows that seems like they live their entire life just only landing, holding on to reeds.
Yeah.
They're living on the marsh.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I was lazy. We haven't really had any problems on Bear Island, and I got lazy. And so...
We both have been lazy for a bit.
Yeah, we have been.
So about...
We have two bear canisters.
Yeah.
And then we had one thing of food in a plastic container that I just threw a strap over. I'm like, good to go.
Yep.
And that one was not good to go. Got torn apart last night by a raccoon with a huge paw print, I might add.
Yeah. So, we're on rations now.
Yeah.
We didn't lose too much.
He liked bread a lot.
We lost a lot of bread. Yeah. So, and some chocolatey
yes.
treats we had
he
for ourselves.
He liked our chocolatey treats, and he knew what they were because he honed in on them. Yeah. The little rat.
Anyway, and then in terms of primates, yesterday they disappeared. Yeah. Last night, I think we might have been the only ones on the island.
So, Pat says Monday wasn't bad, but two different groups of campsites were removed with the help of the park rangers.
We should ask what exactly happened, because they're really strict telling you what all the rules are when you arrive, and one of the things is
you don't
get rescued unless there's a serious you're not going to get any help from the rangers unless it's really serious, and at least two groups got a ride out of here somehow.
Yeah. Everybody else left.
Yeah.
Two groups got help where they were
but possibly three.
I thought maybe three. I didn't want to, exaggerate, yeah. But I think you're right. It might have been three.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, you can see the park ranger go by. Pat and I would wave. There's no waving.
Well, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard
they're
to tell.
They're going by.
Like, yes, this is really angry. But they were helped out. And what was really funny is there's this family of five.
Could be.
So the father had a big backpack, the mother had a big backpack. All the kids
had
these little backpacks.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of when we went hiking with the kids, and we would have backpacks for their age appropriate backpacks, and they all had to carry something.
Yep.
Their own stuff. And it was neat. So this family of five. Backpacked out in storm or in this rainstorm, it's just coming down, and they're walking by, they're drenched, and the kids aren't too bad, they're totally dealing with it. The parents aren't too bad,
yeah, they
they're totally
seem,
dealing with it. They're like, this is bad, but it's not bad, it's just a little wet. And the little girl at the end of the line, the smallest, had a plastic garbage bag pulled over her head and left a neck hole for her to push her head through. And they were all going out on the same ferry where they got two people loaded into trucks and removed from the campsite. And so we were laughing because we were thinking of what our youngest son would do. Like, so, how did you get the ride? Yeah, I carried my backpack. How come you didn't carry your backpack?
Yeah. Let's see. Technical part. So, all of the knotting. We've done a lot of rope work. We have the tent, of course, but then we have two tarps. A giant tarp, which is back at the campsite, and then our beach tarp.
Both are Kelties. They're really made well. I just wanted to mention the name.
Yeah, they're very...
They've taken a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
And they've done really well.
Our second tent together was a Keltie. That lasted for years and used modifications to make a three season into a fake four season.
Right, right.
Because you can't make the poles any stronger, so.
No, but they do nice workmanship.
Yeah. So, let's see, those little plastic things that make your guy lines, to adjustable. Why are you laughing now? Taut line hitch is just as easy.
Yeah.
No, even easier. You just slide it. While those guys, you have to unhook them. No, but we left them, the Keltie ones, on our beach tarp. Let me see. Does it have a name? It doesn't have a name. I don't know what it is. Oh, here it is. Upslope tarp, they call it. Anyway, we left them on. I usually just take them off immediately because I find them a pain, but we left them on because we thought, they're kind of nice. And I'm starting to cut them off. First of all, one jammed. So that's never happened to me with a taut line hitch.
Right.
So that was, when it happened, it was a real pain. And then, so that started the cutting. Actually, I think the plan is to take them all off, but I think that's actually the only one that's been cut off. The other problems with them. If you, obviously, when you have high wind, you want to extend your guy lines, right? And let's say you want to put two different stakes on one guy line, then the thing that makes the most sense is an alpine butterfly right there. Oh, did he attack you? Anyway, so you put the alpine butterfly in the center of a piece of string, and then two loops made from taut line hitches at the end, and put your stakes there. Well, if you have one of those plastic things on there, you can't thread it through your alpine butterfly. And the thing that makes the alpine butterfly so fantastic is it doesn't matter what end you pull on, that thing will hold, and it just won't jam. So when you're done, taking it apart is easy. So it's really one that you want to use when you're in this situation. And the last thing, oh, is he there again? Yeah. We're being attacked. Uh-oh. Okay.
I just sit on my head.
Anyway, and then I have to say, the one thing that where they have been a continuous pain is when it's time to tie up the guy lines. With the winds high, we were kind of lazy about tying them up. And when the wind was high, it was an absolute mess. All the guy lines just knotted together and everything. So we've been tying them up every time. And having those plastic things is a real pain. It's a pain when you have to tie them up. It's much easier to have a free end. So they're going. I've been using clove hitches just for hooking up the tops of poles. And I was thinking, you know, that's always worked fine. No need to go for something that's tighter. And then two nights ago, when it was just so bad and windy in the middle of the night, I was up trying to... Ow, got me!
Through the chair.
Anyway, I had to use... I was looking at knots, and one of them that I've always been like, this is really cool, is the icicle hitch, because it has supposedly such holding power. And I've never needed to use one. And boy, I'm happy I learned that one, because in the middle of the night, that's what I had to put on there to get the knot to stay at the top of the pole. So, I mean, it was wet from condensation, from just dew, and get them. See them?
So the reason Pat has been able to expand his knot repertoire is because
we brought a book.
So as he reads up on knots, I've been reading The Martian by Andy Weir.
That's a cool book.
It is a fun read. Yeah. And if you have time that you're going to be going on vacation, it's a great vacation book. It will totally, you'll be absorbed into the story quickly.
Yeah, and it's funny. We discuss about, the tarp. Okay, we put the weight in this position and that, and then we use this contraption to make it. And it sounds like we're the Martian, right?
Yeah.
Going through all the options and
right.
The few things we have, like when the raccoon...
Right.
Got into our stuff, and we're designing the system to stop them from getting into more stuff by tying it up and cutting into the side so he can't pull the ropes
sideways.
That's fun.
Yeah. So it is a fun read, and it's been part of the joy that we've had during this outing.
Makes me curious. A lot of technical stuff in that book that goes into a lot of detail about why you'd use one thing versus another. They get oxygen out of you know, or how they use energy to get oxygen, and how he'd grow plants, potatoes, I guess, on Mars. And anyway, so what else? Let's see. Tides advance from one, like, you know, if we think of low or high tides happening at, in the morning or the evening, they advance, it looks like, is it 50 minutes a day, about?
Yeah,
50 or so, about 50 minutes later every day. What else do we have? Haven't had any moon. Oh, fantastic stars last night.
Yeah.
We took a chance, since I've been having to get up pretty much almost every night to fix the tent or the tarp or something. We took a chance, figured, one more time, and we slept without the fly on the tent. And
yeah,
the stars were out all night. That was really cool.
It was really cool. When you do that, make sure that you keep things in from the walls of the tent, because you have a lot more.
The condensation was extreme.
Or dew.
Yeah. Yeah. On the inside, it might have been from our breathing, but we definitely had a lot on the tarp. Is that him, or is that just something else? After saying no more bugs, we've just been attacked. Let's see. I think that's about it.
I think
we can call it. Let me look at the time. So this is only 32 minutes or so. But I think we don't have any show notes or anything.
No,
I don't want to ramble.
No,
so.
I think this is good.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to this shortened edition, in the field version of Island CT podcast.
Don't forget to read our blog.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.